It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Have you ever had a pecan pie?
Pecan, yes. Apple, no. And
you've never had apple pie?
No.
I don't like apples! Why would I eat apple pie if I don't like apples? Why? Why? When do you not understand this? What is wrong with you people? Why would I eat it if I don't eat apples?
Well, you know, you mash it up, put it in a pie with a crust and whipped cream on top. I'm in. Maybe a little dab of vanilla ice cream, too. Yahoo!
Why?
This is either the greatest bit in history, the fact that you pretend not to eat these things that are astounding, or you're a walking miracle. And I don't know which one is better.
Remember me when I'm dead, okay?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Happy I feel Tuesday. Like it might be time to try the pie.
What pie?
Apple pie. I mean, like, you know.
I can't.
The world's going through some stuff. Now might be the time to order some apple pie delivery and just give it a run.
I can't. It's not. I can't actually bring myself to have apple pie.
Wow.
I tried German chocolate cake.
That's good, right? Rich?
Because it's got that, like, topping on it. Whatever they put, it's, you know, it's chocolate cake underneath. And then there's just, like, this layer of, I don't even know what the heck they put on it. My wife baked. This is where we are in the world in this day and age. My wife is now baking.
Well, that's good.
She never cooks or bakes. She made a German chocolate cake.
According to Wikipedia, German chocolate cake.
What's on the top
is a layered chocolate cake from the U.S.
Yeah.
From the
U.S.? Top. Wait a minute. Yeah. It's a German chocolate cake.
Apparently,
what they call it, U.S. chocolate cake, then?
That's a good question. Filled with coconut pecan frosting.
There you go. That's what it is. And you
is
know me.
It?
I'm picky. Yes. We had because she told me, hey, I made this German chocolate cake. Just so you know, are you okay with the coconut pecan frosting? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I mean, that's okay. Let's give it a shot. You know, and I did. So there you go. So I tried that.
I'm going to blow your mind right now. Ready? Do you want to know why it's called a German chocolate cake?
Okay. It's a U.S. cake, but it's called a German chocolate cake because it was first sent overseas to Germany for people to try.
It was invented by a guy named Samuel German.
Okay, see, that's...
That's it.
Okay, see, that's a misnomer. That's wrong. That's false advertising.
That's it. Now, the whole thing is just, might as well be Smith's chocolate cake. It's a German chocolate cake. According to Wikipedia, 1852, American baker Samuel German develops a type of dark baking chocolate. And with that, Baker's Germans sweet chocolate, and they make a German chocolate cake. In June 3rd, 1957, a recipe for German's chocolate cake appeared as a recipe of the day in the Dallas Morning News.
Okay.
And that is how it
Samuel
started.
German. Okay.
And June 11th is National German Chocolate Cake Day in America.
I did not know that.
I thought it was the same as a Black Forest cake, but apparently not.
No.
Black Forest has cherry in it.
Oh, it does. I was going to say, I thought like Black Forest seems like it's a more of a darker chocolate, actually.
Well, it says chocolate and cherry flavored cake.
Mm.
Now, a Chantilly cake is listed as similar to the German chocolate cake.
Now, as long as you're looking up cakes, see if something comes up, something called, we used to get a cake from Entenmann's when we were little, blackout cake.
Blackout
cake. Is there such a thing called blackout cake?
I will look at that. I do have a link in front of me that simply says list of desserts.
Ooh, send that to me.
On Wikipedia, in which, I mean, there's got to be hundreds. It's alphabetical. It's geographical.
Yep, blackout cake.
Yeah,
blackout cake. Chocolate fudge blackout cake. I mean, it is as chocolate can be.
Sometimes called the Brooklyn blackout cake.
There you go.
Chocolate pudding topped with chocolate cake crumbs invented during the World War II by a Brooklyn bakery chain named Ebinger's.
Ebinger's. Maybe it was Ebinger's. I wonder if we had one of those on Long Island growing
up.
It
was in recognition of the mandatory blackouts to protect the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Ebinger's Bakery.
Look at all the things we're learning. It's only 6:07.
Yeah, I wonder if it's Ebinger's. Maybe there's an E in my head. I just remember my mom used to go out and get these blackout cakes. Oh, my Lord, they were delicious. That and a large glass of milk. Huh, man, stupendous.
I've probably told you about this before, but the refrigerator cake is what I grew up with.
The refrigerator cake?
The refrigerator cake is amazing. That's where you get chocolate wafers and maybe heavy cream or I think it's heavy whipped cream, whatever.
Yeah.
And you go wafer cream, wafer cream, wafer cream, and it turns into like this log of cake. You put it in the fridge for 24 hours, and then you eat it because it's that process that makes it all congeal. And, you know, the wafers are crispy, right, normally? Once you put them in the fridge for 24 hours, you can basically cut into it with a spoon like you could a regular piece of cake.
You're making me hungry.
That is refrigerator cake.
Wow. That sounds good. Can you
Might
make
just
one of those for me?
Recipes today, anybody?
Yeah, right.
Refrigerator cake is also known as icebox cake or chocolate ripple cake.
So this is funny. You found that. So Ebinger's was a chain of stores created in Brooklyn. It went bankrupt in 1972. So what happened was they were in Brooklyn, and so many customers moved out to Long Island from Brooklyn and Queens that they built a plant on Long Island. And it led to bankruptcy in 72. So I bet you we grew up in Brooklyn. So my guess is my parents would get the cakes from Ebinger's in Brooklyn. We moved to Long Island in 65, and they started buying cakes from Ebinger's on Long Island until they went bankrupt. So that's pretty cool. There's a memory that we unlocked this morning. That's cool.
There you go. We learned a lot. We learned about Ebinger's and Ebinger's. Samuel German, who was apparently... No, that was different. That was the blackout cake was Ebinger's. Samuel German
was the German
chocolate
cake.
Morning News recipe of the day.
Huh.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, speaking of food, I did have something I wanted to mention this morning. I mentioned a couple times today. They're doing this actually around a lot of cities in the U.S., but Western New York feeds the frontline.org. I don't know if donations will go to German chocolate cakes, but if you go to WNYfeedsthefrontline.org, every $10 you donate, you just click and donate $10, $20, $100, whatever you want, $50,000, Howard, you know, if you'd like to.
Whoa.
And every $10 you donate delivers one meal to a medical worker that is on the front lines at a medical facility, you know, helping to battle this global pandemic. So that's WNYfeedsthefrontline.org. Nonprofit, Buffalo Renaissance Foundation. We'll process a tax-deductible donation. So lots of people getting food, and it'll also include local restaurants. So you're supporting restaurants and feeding medical workers. So that's WNYfeedsthefrontline.org.
It's uplifting in this time where to see all of the efforts that are being done in terms of things like that. We mentioned a couple weeks ago the Facebook group that was put together here in Western New York to help whatever is needed for people who have, you know, whether it's donations, whether it's food, whether it's supplies, whether it's anything. And you just see different people raising money to help out. What was it like that? I just saw Channel 2 tweeted out about Lloyd's offering free burritos in exchange for N95 masks. You know, you saw there's a story this morning about athletes all over the country getting together to help raise money. So it's... amidst all the suffering and everything that's going on, the economic hardship, the health issues and everything, it's nice to see so many. The Bills put out an article at their website about some of the players that are helping out and donating money in their own communities, either here or in their own communities where they live in the offseason. John Feliciano, Josh Allen, I can't remember the names right now.
Deion Dawkins has been involved already for
and
sure.
He does so much charity stuff.
He does
stuff.
A lot, Deion does.
Yeah. So it's nice to see that.
I was thinking about him. He had a piece about a family member that's incarcerated. He wrote for the Players Tribune about that and this other stuff too with regard to donations. Yeah, I mean he is a consistent source of good in the community and good to have on the team with the club.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to mention that WNYfeedsthefrontline.org.
There's Tremaine Edmonds. Is involved here. He and his brothers were handing out lunches to folks in their community. So it's cool. There's a, like I said, there's a an article about it at the Bills website that I was checking out. The link for Tyler Croft is doing stuff in his community. And there are links to help them out. And I mean, I think Eric Wood might be doing some stuff. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of guys.
I think he's reading books to kids online.
Oh, no kidding.
Among other things.
That is cool.
Yesterday, the NHL had a conference call with I didn't see if every division did it. Did every division do it? Brayton, do you know?
I thought it was just the Atlantic, was it?
Okay, the Atlantic. Maybe they're doing one a day.
Yeah.
Because I know the NHL, Brayton. One of the things that they want to do is they want to stay present and kind of front of mind, even if they're not going to have games. So that's probably why they set up this conference call with the Atlantic division. And Jack Eichel's on that. And Jack was talking about, you know, it's funny, just like everybody else, he's home. He's in Buffalo and just kind of stuck at home and riding it out. Wants, you know, you'd love to see your family back in Boston, and,
right.
You know, I've got some family I'd like to see, but you know, you're not going to go anywhere and see family if you're being responsible and kind of doing the best you can to stay indoors and stay socially distanced.
Yeah.
So kind of funny just like see these hockey players getting together on a Zoom conference call the same way that everybody else has for the last however many weeks.
Right. Yeah, well, it's about, you know, texting and FaceTiming and phone calls and whatever you do to keep in touch with people, to have the social interaction, the family members. It's, for me, I'm used to it. I mean, my family is all downstate, so I mean, I see them, I don't know, maybe a couple times a year, so it's really not out of the ordinary for me once a week to pick up, you know, get on the phone and say, hey, talk to my brothers, talk to my mom, so forth and so on, because I've basically been away from family for 35 years now, so yeah. It's not out of the ordinary, but I would think it's hard. Like, there are people who live here in Western New York, and your parents are like a 10-minute drive away, and you're not going over to see them anytime soon.
You know, you're not supposed to see them,
well,
or you're,
right.
You know, showing through. I've
a
seen
glass
people get
window.
Together on porches, right, on windows. Yeah,
you drive by and you wave to them, and they're standing on the front porch waving back. Is basically what you do,
or you buy them a, you know, you get them some sort of computer or phone that can have the FaceTime capabilities.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, like you and I haven't been in the business community where we do online meetings like a lot of people do, go to meeting and Zoom and all that.
Right.
This technology is pretty great, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can do a lot of things. You can, there are people that are teaching, there are teachers who are teaching classes remotely.
Yep.
There's, if you want to go to an exercise class, you can do that probably remotely. Again, if you have this kind of stuff and if you have the time. So, I don't know, sometimes when we talk about this and we're trying to be here for everybody that's involved, I think about people that have it really tough, whether they're battling something actually, the illness itself, something within their family, something with a job.
Right.
So, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, call and be a part of the show at any point for any reason, you know, we welcome that. We're just trying to, get through it with you. And everyone's got their own little different ways of getting through it and passing the time. The What's Your Outlet contest, right? That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
What's your outlet?
And for me, it's a combination of things. I do find myself in recent days, Jeremy, watching more sports. Like, I feel like the longer we go into this, the more I'm going to crave. Like, I'm thinking I should be watching this iRacing stuff. Like, I'm getting to the point where I think I need sports, you know? So, I spent the weekend watching some old, you know, it's all old stuff, obviously. You know, so college basketball replays, the Mets Astros 86 NLCS, the Sabres Rangers game I DVR'd Friday night and watched that back. I still haven't gotten to the Bills Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game. I think that one's next on my list. I began with, hey, I'm good taking a little break from sports. I'm going to read some books. I'll binge watch some shows. I'll do all this other stuff. And I found myself, like I said, in the last week, like missing baseball, watching some of the Mets games. Mets Classics. Get in your jokes. On SNY. And just looking at some more.
Was that each time a guy blows out his elbow and needs Tommy John surgery?
You know, I don't have it in front of me. Somebody put together a bracket, a Mets bracket, and basically it's like all the bad things that have happened in the history of the franchise, and they're just pitted against each other, guys getting injured, guys getting in trouble with the law, different things happen. You know, it's as a Met fan, you could appreciate how bad the franchise has been by looking at that bracket. But I found, like, maybe all of a sudden I'm getting more and more into, boy, I wish, you know, I need that sports fix. I'm missing something. And, so I do find myself watching a little bit more in terms of games that are out there. I caught a little bit of the Rams-Chiefs. Is it crazy to say that even a replay, an 8 o'clock replay last night of a great Monday Night Football game was still on too late for me to stay up to watch the whole game?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a replay, and you know what happened.
But it was the 54-51 game, and I remember tuning in like, the third quarter, because people on Twitter that night were talking about how crazy this game is. You've got to be watching. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I'll check it out. And I wanted to see the replay. But, yeah, I'm longing for a little bit more in terms of sports and seeing games and all that, even though I know, you know, the outcome of all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that I don't miss sports, because I definitely do. You know, we would joke all the time, all I do is think about the Sabres and complain about the Sabres. And, you know, without that outlet, that there's definitely something missing to, you know, watch them and see what they could have done in the last 12 games, see if they look any good, see if Dominic Cahoon continues to fit in. But I don't know. I have a strange, maybe it's not all that strange. Like, right before we came on, Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon are talking about how how really heartbreaking it is that Wimbledon's not going to be played. And I just think, I mean, you know.
Well, from maybe we've seen the last of Serena and Roger Federer, I think was the whole.
Yeah. Even that. I start to think, guys, you know, it's the whole thing like sports puts things in perspective or something puts sports in perspective. I know that everything's canceled and it's bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just get real nervous about the terms that are used for not having Wimbledon being played. Like, of all the things that we don't necessarily need in this moment, you know, Wimbledon, it's a nice distraction, and that'd be great if they could find a way to do it without crowds and games without crowds, and I get that. But I just think some of it is, you know, Major League Baseball is operating full steam ahead, and I think, okay, I mean, good luck. I don't see any reason for anybody to think that full steam ahead is necessarily happening anytime soon.
Right.
But I also do understand, you know, you want to implement a rollout plan of August 1st. And when you decide August 1st isn't going to make it, well, then you cancel that plan. But you might as well make it just in case.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. For me, the stories, like yesterday I was reading, there are so many different stories about the leagues and what they're doing and how they could try and get a season in and all this stuff. And one of the things I was reading yesterday was Brian Windhorst has a piece at ESPN.com about how the NBA is monitoring the Chinese Basketball Association. Did you see that story?
I did not.
Okay, so the Chinese Basketball Association shut their league down on January 24th. Now, what they've done is they recently called like foreign players to come back. And I guess their teams have actually, I believe, resumed practicing. So they're trying to figure out if they can actually, you know, no fans, whatever it takes, wherever they play these games, they're trying to get the league up and running again. And it would be, they're projecting like three and a half months of shutdown before they can play games again. And so the NBA is watching this as like, maybe it's like a model. Like, okay, they shut down third week of January, 3 months later, they're back playing games, and the NBA is thinking, okay, maybe this can be our model. I haven't thought, like, I know one of the stories out there today is the medical director of the NFL Players Association is optimistic there's going to be a full season. I don't stop and think about games again, because how could you? When with the numbers of the disease, and it's so staggering, and nobody knows when this thing is going to flatten, end. I mean, it's just to predict the future and what's going to happen with this, with what's going on. And we haven't even hit the zenith, right? Or the apex, right. I guess is how I don't even think, hey, maybe we can get baseball in on July 1st. And if you get training camps, I don't even know if there's going to be a football season in the fall. I mean, like, this is something we've never seen in our lifetime. And the numbers are skyrocketing, and the death totals are going up. And, you know, now people are talking about the New York City hospitals, and here's Governor Cuomo, right, asking health workers around the state, hey, if you can come down to New York City, we could really use your help. It's to stop and think, well, but maybe we can get camps to open in July. I can't even think about sports being played again.
Yeah, and if the NBA is thinking about the Chinese Basketball League as a model, are they planning on playing in China? Is that what the model is?
You know, no, because, here, right? And I get it, right? Maybe it's more of a hope thing than anything. Like, the NBA is talking about Vegas, right? And having like games played out at a casino in Vegas or something like that without fans. And I get it, I understand, but it's so hard to even think about games being resumed. At this point, we'd all like, you want to have like life back to normal so you can go visit your mother down the block. I mean, it's, you know, so the idea of thinking, hey, you think we'll get a full baseball, half a baseball season? It's just preposterous to me to even think about that. I do not think about games resuming. It's so far in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there eventually. And when we do, it'll be quite a day. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Right.
You know, it'll be just be different. A lot of things will be different, you know? Maybe you'll never think about being at a Bills game the same way. And I say that in a positive way. Not that, you know, everyone's going to come out of this afraid of being in a crowd, but just the idea that, like, whew, man, it's been a while since we've all done this.
Right.
You know, usually our sports gaps last 4 days, and when we come back, it's, wow, all right, well, that was rough.
Yeah.
This one's going to be obviously much different.
And I was fun. And look, this is the cynical sports person in me coming out. I was thinking about baseball, basketball, these sports. You know, are they rushing to get back because they know people will be so starved for a live sporting event if, when these leagues return? Like, are they figuring our ratings are going to skyrocket? We're going to sell, you know, tons of tickets because people will be just crazed for a live sporting event that they're going to be so happy that games are being played that their gate revenue and their TV ratings are going to skyrocket. And I mean, that's, again, that's neither here nor there. There are bigger fish to fry, so to speak, in terms of what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We'll go down to, hang on, Virginia. There we go. John, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Thank you. I have the coronavirus here in Fairfax, Virginia, and I've had some rough days. I haven't been able to listen to you guys for the past week. I've been in here since a week ago Sunday, and I know I call in from time to time, and I listen to you guys all the time, and I love your show, and I haven't been able to listen to it. And maybe you don't realize what a big deal it is, but today was the first morning I could listen to you guys and how thankful I am for you guys bringing the show and bringing some sense of normalcy back to my life, because you do such a great job. And that's all I can get to get my updates on the bill, the Sabres. I feel isolated right now. I have a 6 or 7 year old kid at home and my wife, and I can't see them.
Are you able to keep in touch with them in texting or any way at all?
We text. There's some FaceTime here or there, but I don't. My oxygen levels.
Yeah.
Trying to get up. Trying to build up my oxygen level. So I'm having some small progress, but I also have these minor setbacks. But I feel like I'm slowly getting there, because this is the first time I could listen to you guys in the past 9 days. And I don't think you guys realize how important your job is and how thankful people are to listen to you. You know, there was 2 years ago that same 7 and 6 year old kid, or I think 4 or 5, and Howard was doing the show outside the gatehouse with Chris Brown before the game started. And we were sitting in the audience. And I don't know if you remember.
I remember you guys. Yes, you came up to the stage. Yes.
They came up and they hugged you.
Yeah.
Wow. And even though that wasn't a big deal, maybe for you, it meant everything to us. And you took the time to do that. And I put to both of you for all you do.
Well, John.
Keep fighting.
You too, man. You too. Hang in there, buddy. Thanks for calling us. Hang in there. Do everything you can. I mean, I'm glad you called. I just want to say, to hear from somebody like that, like, I mean, we have been as a station, as a company, taking this super seriously for the longest time, and I hope that when, you know, you listen for the first day and all we're doing is, you know, talking about this, we've got more fun slated for you coming up later in the show. So,
John, I'll pick the Bills every hour for the make it get better.
I was going to say, like,
it'll make you feel better.
If the first time you're tuning in, you're thinking, like, I just want to hear about anything else.
Somebody bring an apple pie. I swear I'll eat it on the show.
Right.
Just to make John smile. Anything.
Give us your thoughts on Stephon, you know.
I do remember him visiting, Jeremy. It's interesting because I thought, John, Godspeed, prayers with you, obviously, will keep in our thoughts. But I remember him coming up because, look, it's not a surprise that someone at a Bills game is not from Buffalo. But I just thought, it's so cool. You sit there doing your show and you do it. You've done this too. When you're outside doing your show, I'm sure fans come up to you and say, hey, we're from so-and-so. And you're like, wow, you made the drive? You made the trek in from where? I just remember, and his kids are really cool, and they were really excited to be there. And I just thought, wow, they're from Virginia. This is so awesome. And they listen to us all the time, and they're out of state, but they drive in for the games. And I thought, this is really cool. And then, you know, a kid, we're just sitting there doing our show, but for a kid to, like, come up on the stage and meet everybody, like, yeah, it's funny. I remember Virginia. I remember the guy from Virginia with the kids, and that's cool. And John, yes, please, you know, we'll keep you in our thoughts, and thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. And if we can provide any kind of solace, escape. You know, we're obviously awareness. Privileged and honored to do so.
Yeah,
and awareness too. Right.
And you know, it's interesting. Like I've only lived in, you know, Auburn, Syracuse, and Buffalo for now more than half my life. But yesterday, sorry, Brayton, about the break here, but I got to tell this story next. Because yesterday, you know, we had a listener reach out to me because I'd mentioned, like, I've got this time at home. What am I going to do? Maybe I'll decide to learn to play guitar again. Like, I've got to figure something out to do with my time as we stay indoors and try to stay healthy ourselves and keep other people healthy and do everything we can. And I got a email from a listener, Pat. So yesterday on Zoom, we're giving me some guitar lessons real quick and give me some pointers and stuff. But the thing he pointed out was what John's talking about here, which is he does not live in the area. And he said he listens to the show all the time and listens to the afternoon show and listens to GR because it provides him a connection back home. And that where he lives, you know, it's just people living in a place. It's not the same as it is where here in Buffalo. And, you know, like sometimes I hear that and think, I don't know, does everybody feel like that about the place they're from? And the answer is no, they don't all feel like that. So, you know, anytime you hear that, and if we can in any way be that connection for anybody, like it's something that, I mean, it's wonderful to hear you say that. It makes me feel like I shouldn't yell about the teams all the time. Sometimes I get overly worked up. But yeah, thank you for the call, John. Hang in there. We are thinking about you all day, every day now.
Sorry. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
I love hockey, and it means so much to me. But I think right now it's kind of been put on the back burner, and you know, a lot of my thoughts go towards my family and health and the people I care about, and you know, all the people that are dealing with this. And you know, there's so much more, you know, at stake right now than hockey games. So it's really tough to say.
It's Jack Eichel, who was part of a video call with players from the Atlantic Division yesterday. And Paul's got information on that in a story at WGR550.com. The NFL, let's do some NFL news in your headlines this morning, because the owners are expected to vote today to expand the playoffs for as early as this season. The medical director for the NFL Players Association says he's optimistic there will be a 2020 NFL season. The Texans are in contract extension talks with offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil. The NFL's inviting top prospects to participate in the draft via video calls. Let's see. CFL's postponing the opening of their training camps. There's a report that the folks at Wimbledon will have an announcement later this week on this year's tournament. It is scheduled for June 29th. They're weighing postponement versus cancellation, and reportedly they're leaning towards canceling the tournament for this year at this point. Chris Sale from the Red Sox undergoes Tommy John surgery. The NCAA has given an extra year of eligibility to all spring athletes who would have had their seasons canceled. And that's seniors, juniors, whoever, regardless of what class you're in, year you're in. And the Coyotes have opened up talks with Taylor Hall on a possible contract extension. Headlines brought to you by the Steve Foley Law Firm. Injury justice for injury victims. Call 249-2222.
I have another bracket for us to yell about a little bit at some point today. And we can get to that a little bit later. I was also thinking, Jack Eichel's conference call, has the internet sleuthed out what was behind him in the background? He had what appeared to be maybe a platinum album. Like an artist maybe gave him there are some platinum records behind him on the wall. And then what appeared to be some sort of tiger or something like that. I don't know, a big piece of art. Matt Beauvais asked him if he had seen Tiger King, and Jack said, yes, I'm a human. Yes, I have seen it.
I
or something
so.
To that effect, which is a very important question to of course, be asked.
Right. I'm not surprised that I haven't seen that, but actually, it came up at dinner last night because my wife hasn't seen it, and she asked, so what's this stuff about Tiger or something or other? And I'm like,
I've got the perfect way to explain it. I came upon it last night. Adam Gretz, who we've had on the show before, covers the Penguins. He was basically making a case that it's not even that good. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I would recommend it. The way to say it is, it's like a Super Bowl that's not good. You should probably see it so people know, you know what people are talking about. You know, if the Super Bowl were tonight, you'd watch it.
Sure.
Even if you knew.
Even if the Patriots were in.
Even if you were told you were seeing the future, this is actually a pretty crummy Super Bowl. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But you're going to want to see one thing or two things that happen because tomorrow people will be talking about them.
Right.
That's basically what this is. It's not even good. but everybody has seen it, so that's basically how Netflix works.
Is it like gory and stuff? Or
oh, no, not at
no,
all.
No, it's not like a violent thing. Okay.
No, all not right. at all.
Okay.
I mean, one person gets their arm taken off by a tiger, but that's not like on camera or anything like that.
Okay, good, because I don't need to see that part.
And that's an accident. It's a freak accident, and the woman is not even upset about it. She continues to work there and blames herself for it. I mean, it's...
I think I'd feel, like, a little upset over losing an arm, but, you know, that's just me. I mean, I am ambidextrous, so maybe it wouldn't be that big a deal.
Yeah.
But
she was not
like
even upset. She was back to
She's
work
a gamer.
In like 5 days. Yeah.
She is a gamer.
Yeah, right, right.
We'll get to your calls this morning. Love to hear from you. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. And, you know, we're going to go to Jim here in New York City. Hey, if you're if you're outside of Buffalo and we're your connection to hometown and you can find a little time to call us this morning from wherever your locale is. We love connecting with the transplanted Western New Yorkers, in addition to everybody here, of course. Jim, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I actually, best wishes to John of Virginia. He actually inspired me to call a little bit. It's been a little rough for our family. My wife, we had a baby in October. And my wife's on extended maternity. So besides my full-time job, I had lots of side jobs because New York City is expensive. And when this stuff started, I lost all my work. That's obviously a little scary. And I found out my uncle in Buffalo he's now in an induced coma and on a ventilator from COVID-19. And then actually just Sunday, we found out it's unrelated to the virus, but our 6-month-old daughter had a seizure, and first time I've ever had to call 911, and I mean, scariest moment of my life. And we brought her over. She's doing fine now, but one of the tough parts is because of the restrictions and the safety precautions and stuff like that, I can't be there with them. So it's just my wife and they have to stay in their room.
Right.
And, we've been able to FaceTime a little bit. I think in the past 2 days, I've made like 10 trips of, clothes and toys and dropping off coffee and snacks. But I have to wait down in the lobby and a nurse comes and gets it and brings it up. And, it's been tough, but at the same time, I try to feel a little encouraged because I know there's people who have it much worse than me. And even thinking about John, if he hasn't been able to listen to the show in 9 days, I'm sure he hasn't been able to see his family in much longer than 9 days. And this has been hard for me. It's only been 2-3 days now. So, and I can't help but think about other dads that can't go in, and their kids might have more serious issues. And, I know I'm going to see my daughter soon, but, I know there's some dads who don't know if they're going to be able to see their kids again, and it's really hard. And, I just hope we can get past all this as soon as we can. So, things related to COVID or not, families can be there for each other in hard times. And,
You've had a lot to deal with.
You guys, still doing the show and, it's a pretty quiet apartment without the kiddo around, and so it's nice to have you guys with me.
Have you been able to get in touch with your uncle?
No. There's one of my other uncles has kind of been the point person.
Yeah.
And he sends texts out to my dad and their other siblings, and then I kind of get the information that way. I think they put him into the coma on Friday, and they just, I don't know what they do. I think when you're on a ventilator, you're on your stomach, and then they.
That's one thing that I've read they're doing to take pressure off the lungs of some people that are dealing with it. Is something that I'm not. I read that in one article about. I don't want to just put it out there and say that's true because I don't want someone calling in and saying stop spreading disinformation. But I did read that in one, so if you have heard that, I have also heard that.
And I guess they flip them back over on their back and then check their oxygen levels, and that's their way to see if they can try to take them off the ventilator.
Okay. Yeah. I hope your daughter gets home soon.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And, yeah, there's so much the ancillary effects, the secondary effects or whatever of all this that are, you know, seeing this coming for however many months it's been looking like it's coming, and with the healthcare system overwhelmed, sometimes on this show we are the escape. Other times I feel like we have to deliver important messages, of course, and it's always been about half about that, and the other half is the overrun medical system that is not really up to.
It can't handle the load, so
right?
To speak.
Not the individuals.
Right,
I mean,
the
individuals certainly are. The facilities, the room, the space is not.
Right.
And you know, I think about the people that have to go in there and have to do three times the work they maybe normally do. And in this case, you know, you're putting your life on the line for a lot of this stuff. And then that's not to mention other things that normally happen. Car accidents will still happen.
Right.
You know, people will still break their leg.
Like Jim said, the seizure was unrelated. The daughter's seizure was not related to the virus.
Yeah. My mother's car accident that was a little over 2 months ago now, her partner she was with, he was in the ICU for weeks. And we got to visit him a lot to try and keep his spirits up. And if that had happened now, I don't know if he gets in. And he might not make it because, you know, he needed to be. To get medical attention for quite some time. And then, you know, he's doing well and he's out. He's out of a rehab facility and
good.
We can't see him. You know, he's older, he's at risk, and I can't see him. I have to call him and say hi. I can't give him the old, hey, we'll pop in for lunch this week because it's very high risk.
Well, look at, like Jim was saying, if someone's in the hospital, right, I believe it's probably now standard policy that only one person can visit.
Well, one of the current debates/issues is, you know, women are afraid, not women, men and women are both afraid that if you're giving birth, you have to give birth alone. Some states are going to try and push that, can't have another person in the hospital with you. And I think Governor Cuomo just pushed something back to say in New York State, they will always, you know, be allowed to have someone with them while giving birth. Because, again, like these protocols in hospitals to try and keep people safe, that's one where all of a sudden, you know, you're giving birth alone.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I can't even imagine that. Yeah, you know, without having somebody there to provide support, spouse, family member, what have you. 803, Jim, thank you. And I hope your uncle's going to be okay. We hope your uncle's going to be okay, and we hope your daughter will be home soon. And again, we're glad to be here and talking about favorite desserts and movies. 803-0550 to join us. 888.
I do have a fun thing. I sent you guys that link of it's funny. Every day there's a new bracket we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the best television show characters of all time bracket, and we've got this best NHL moments of the year bracket. At some point, I want to see a brackets bracket where they put all the brackets that came out, and we rank them 1 to 64, and we have a bracket of brackets to see which was the best bracket to deal with. You know, as a distraction. Which one distracted us the most?
This is like Shope and the Bulldog having a draft of drafts.
A draft of drafts, yeah.
Like, what's the top draft? Well, it's got to be your draft for the best movie. No. The best draft is the best dessert. Deli meats.
Yesterday we had Niagara Falls, the Niagara Water Cooler board game bracket, which was, you know, controversial.
Yes.
And we've got more on the way today, so that'll be fun.
803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. By the way, on the show today, we'll talk some Bills football. Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We will talk, we'll do some reminiscing about the 05-06 Sabres all this week. What?
Yeah.
That was a good all, right? Not a bad?
Yeah,
okay.
I've got a thought on that. I've got a mini rant about them, but it's a good one. It's a happy rant.
I thought
it's
you'd be happy to. We have Jay McKee coming on at 9 o'clock,
okay.
So we can talk about all the games they're showing this week are all 05-06
no,
games.
No, it's just a happy rant.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like where you just want to. It's a rave. That's what it is. It's a rave. I got to rave about something. I can do that next.
Breer gets to center ice. Gets away from Heatley, wings it in over the line, sends it off to Pominville. Pominville.
That was a goal that was scored in Game 3 of the Sabres-Senators series when the Sabres went up 3-0. They're up in that game late, by the way. I watched the highlights, and they're up 2-1 late in the third, and the Senators score with a net empty. Like a minute 45 left, maybe to go 2-2.
Yeah.
And that sets up J.P. Dumont's goal to win 3-0. Anyway, so Mike Schoep tweeted out that set of highlights yesterday to point out one of his favorite goals and favorite moments at the arena was Max Afinaganov's goal to go up 2-1. And that was also like maybe midway through the third period. So they score there 2-1. We're all just freaking out. Anyway, I sent you the highlight because I need to spend 30 seconds ranting slash raving that still to this day, Danny Briere is criminally underrated. Criminally underrated. This link, this highlight, when he drops a guy in the neutral zone with a move, gains the zone, puts on the brakes, glides back, saucers a soccer-style through ball to Pominville. I mean, like, it is a masterpiece of a play from Briere, and he was here for such a short time, and he was so freaking good. It is unbelievable. It is... This is what I said. I wanted to rant. Like, this is all I've got right now is, holy cow!
He was really good.
He was,
yes, he
was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that play, I tweeted at Mike, I want a 30 for 30 on that zone entry. I would watch an hour-long special on everyone recreating this one zone entry from Briere on the power play in Game 3 against Ottawa. Holy cow.
It was, well, a couple things. One, he was... He is one of those, the rare, worth the price of admission guys, Eichel, LaFontaine, like those guys. Like you would go to a game just to see Danny Briere play. Like he was that exciting, that entertaining, that talented, that everything. And I feel like if Jim Lorenz was, I don't think he was doing color at that point. If he was, the move at center that Briere put on, whoever the heck he deked at center ice, Lorenz would have reacted, go, oh! Like he would have had one of those reactions he always had when Rick was calling the games, a live reaction to the move that he put on the
He was on the broadcast with Rick. And
He didn't do it. Like Lorenz always did that. Like he reacted like just, really fabulous plays like that.
Just the skating.
That was phenomenal.
And the footwork, right as he gains the blue line,
yep.
He gets pressured, they step up. So good.
That was a beautiful goal. The whole play.
It was.
The pass from... the. Briere going up ice, the pass over to the right side, and the pass to the front of the net, the redirect. It was a really pretty goal. And I also noticed, too, who scored the goal in the third to put the Sabres up?
Afinaganov.
The crowd reaction. They were so loud. Yeah. I mean, it was just great. I know it's obvious, but I was at the game that night. I actually remember that game. That was pretty cool. It was depressing when they scored with, a minute and a half left or whatever, and Dumont's goal and walking out and everybody was chanting sweep, sweep, sweep. It was cool. It was one of my more fonder
Sabres
moments.
To hear Rick's call on the Afinaganov goal because I think it's one of his like best calls of a goal in probably franchise history. It's just that great.
Hey, I'm not going away.
Now flipped into the corner. Roy trying to come up with a catch. Kalender got it to Hesh. He tried to clear it in front. Roy scores! Maxim Afinaganov! Buffalo gets back the lead!
You should have been on the goal horn for that night, Jeremy.
The 0506 team makes me just tear up all the time. All the time. Oh, yeah. What a call.
Yeah.
What a play.
Jay McKee going to be on with us at 9. We'll have some fun.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to always. He's one of my favorite Sabres. So I'm glad he's coming on with us this morning.
We're not going to bring up the staff infection.
No.
He was probably every bit as devastated about it as
everyone else. No, I'm not going to. I'm not sure. Maybe today he can laugh about it. I feel like it would be a bad thing to bring up, though. You know, this many years, I don't know that it'll ever be. I was going to say anything but a sore spot, but that's
probably
a bad
team.
Yeah.
What a team. Ugh.
All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Got a new contest going on. We started this yesterday, and you can get involved, too. All you need to do is tweet us. It's the What's Your Outlet contest. If you're hanging out at home And you're keeping how are you keeping busy? What are you doing? What are you doing to, you know, maintain your sanity? You could even tell us what's making you nuts. Whatever you want to do, you can tweet at us and express it in words. You can send us a photo. You can send us a video. But whatever, send us something. Tweet at WGR550. Make sure you use the hashtag What's Your Outlet and give us your story. And every Friday, we will pick one winner of all the entries that we get. That person will get a $25 gift certificate to Outlet Liquor. Again, tweet at WGR550. And when you do that, use the hashtag What's Your Outlet. The WGR Outlet Liquor Twitter contest is brought to you by New York's only Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor.